When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello, how are you? I hope you're well. I did not post an episode last week. My apologies for that. My apologies for skipping a week. My bad. In my defense, it was a tough week. I was sick, first of all. With a cold, whatever, you know, not COVID or anything, but I get very intense colds. They really move me in a negative way. I get like I can't breathe, lose my voice completely, colds that have, you know, profound impacts on my life. And also, things have just been very chaotic recently. Professionally for me, and I know it's shocking to hear me say the word professionally, but yeah, it's been a weird time. I mean, for the past couple years, I've been just freelancing basically with a bunch of stuff, and just about all of it has dried up. And I think my last two standing gigs are over. I mean, we'll see. It's kind of up in the air. But I do believe in my heart of hearts that I am, unfortunately, in my unemployment era. So I'm dealing with that, dealing with figuring out what I want to do next, dealing with finances and all that stuff like that. I mean, I do think this was kind of a long time coming. I have been a bit restless for the past couple years because I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing with my life. And I don't feel like I'm actually doing work because in many ways I am not. And like, as fun as it is to be able to just make videos with people and do that kind of stuff and just kind of be me and have that be my job, it does very much feel like I'm not working, which sounds fabulous and glamorous, but does make me feel a little bit restless and like nothing is going on. So hopefully this will be a good thing. I honestly think it will be. Figuring out what I want to do next, because I've been feeling weird for a while, so I think I probably need to get a regular job now, you know, long time coming. This is very much like my influencer flop era. You know how people tweet James Charles and they're like, oh my god, you're getting this many views, like, time to work at Taco Bell or whatever. Not that I was ever James Charles. I was never James Charles, just so we're crystal clear. But, you know, I was doing cool stuff for a while, and now I don't think I'm gonna be. And that's fine. That's also fine because I'm going back to school. I've been back in school, but I'm going back to school full-time starting in the fall. Feeling good about that. And it's nice to be in school when you don't know what you're doing with your life, even when you're 23 years old, because it's like, I'm not doing nothing, right? I can't be expected to like get a 9-to-5 job. I'm a student. I'm just an innocent, naive little student. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do next. And by the way, if anybody knows of anything in New York, I'm down for whatever. I'm down to just explore right now. I think I might want to, I feel like, you know, two roads are diverging in the woods right now. And I'm like, I could try to get like an internship and try to be a professional, or I could just get a service job and do other stuff on the side, like creative stuff. And I'm kind of leaning towards that, even though it sounds like the less responsible decision, right? But I am, I don't know, I'm leaning towards that. I feel like for a while now, you know, because I haven't been doing like real work and I want to be doing real work. And something like a marketing internship, it's not real work. You know what I mean? Being an intern, like at a desk and putting stuff in Excel or answering phones or like whatever it is, that was like, a lot of what I did when I was a fashion intern, it was also like steaming garments. But it's so much pretending to work. It's crazy. It's like nobody, when I was an intern, it was like nobody would give me really any work at all. Until, of course, they gave me a ton of work at once. But most of the time, nobody would give me any work at all. But then if I wasn't doing anything, they'd be like, you're not doing anything. Not a good look. I'm like, what is there to do? So I got pretty good at spending hours a day pretending to rearrange the pencils on my desk. And I don't really want to go back to something like that right away. As easy as it sounds, and it often was very easy, it's not exactly fulfilling. I'll just say that. Like, as stressful as service jobs are, and I've definitely worked my fair share of them, it feels like you're really doing something, and you don't have that constant, I don't even want to say imposter syndrome, because it's not imposter syndrome if you are an imposter, right? If you're pretending to work all day, and you're scared that somebody is going to find you out for not actually working all day, that's not really imposter syndrome, that's just kind of a valid fear. I feel like sometimes the way people use imposter syndrome is very liberal, and it's like, well, some of us should kind of feel insecure about our work ethic or how much we're getting done or how much we're impacting, whatever. Like, if you work in finance, you can't say you have imposter syndrome. That word is not for you. Or that phrase, rather. That phrase is not for you because you are an imposter. Like, that's what you do. It's a fake it till you make it, do all this bullshit, go to a whatever kind of school that's pretending to be a school that's actually a bank wearing a hat. That's not imposter syndrome. So many people now, especially, and I love all my millennial friends, but, and my older Gen Z friends like me, many of us are working these fake jobs and being influencers or like managing social media for a company or doing some made up marketing stuff. And then we're talking about imposter syndrome. You are an imposter. Like, what do you mean? I don't even, now that I'm thinking of it, I don't really believe in imposter syndrome. I don't know, because if it's like, if we're cavemen and you're actually gathering berries all day or whatever it is, there's no imposter syndrome. You're gathering the berries. You know that you are. You know that you are. So maybe if you feel like an imposter, there's a reason for that. And that's sort of my advice of the week. Yeah, I do feel like two roads are diverging in the woods. And I'm debating, like, do I wanna live that artist's life? Do I wanna do the creative stuff, but then like have a whatever job that holds me down for the time being? Do I wanna see if I can not be corporate? Because I think that ship has sailed between, like, you know, my digital footprint and just who I am as a person, but kind of corporate, writing tweets for a startup, whatever. Do I want to do that? I really don't know, but my gut is telling me, girl, get a waitressing job, babysit someone's kids, work at a front desk, you know, whatever it is, and then do creative stuff on the side. That's what my gut is telling me. So we'll see. We'll see if I find anything. Hopefully I will, because I am certainly in my broke era. Between this and between tax season, baby. Oh, I didn't get to talk about that last week. Tax season, baby. Because I've been self-employed, you know, getting 1099s. And when you're freelancing and getting those 1099s, they don't take out the taxes. So you got to do that all at once. And I owed so much more than I expected. I owed enough that I was like, I have to fake my death or die for real. Like, those are my two options at this point. There is no way. Oh my God. Maybe taxation is theft, girl. Maybe it really is. I mean, it's a ridiculous process. The IRS is like a friend who's mad at you and you can't figure out why. And they're just giving you the silent treatment. And you're like, well, I know you're mad at me. Just tell me what I need to do. And they're like, no. You should know. That's what the IRS is doing. I'm not going to tell you. You should know. Also, I had to pay them penalties, small penalties, but still, because I didn't know that I was supposed to be filing taxes quarterly. Nobody tells you this stuff. Who was supposed to tell me that? I didn't get a letter in the mail. I didn't get an email. I didn't have someone, you know, tap me on the shoulder and let me know. How was I supposed to know? It's a ridiculous process, especially in this country. Are you kidding me? The intellect of these individuals, and they're making taxes this hard. The IRS should be mailing everybody like a pop-up picture book of exactly what to do to pay their taxes. It should not be this difficult. And also, stop sending mail. Start sending emails, IRS. Because last year, it turned out I owed a little bit more than I thought, and I got so many penalties tacked on because I didn't pay it right away, because I didn't check my mailbox, because I lost my mail key. Lock me up. Lock me up and throw away the key like I did with my mail key. I mean, Jesus. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I had to do taxes. And then also my computer broke. I'm Struggle Town, USA these past couple weeks. My laptop broke. It got real slow. I couldn't even do my Zoom therapy meeting. Google Meets, actually, but whatever. I couldn't even do my Google Meets therapy meeting. I had to go onto my iPad, and it was not at a good angle. And I think my therapist maybe lost respect for me. But just to complain about one more thing. Because my laptop broke and I had to get a new one. It was a situation where they're like, well, we could fix this for like $500 or you could get a new one for $800. And I was like, okay. I basically totaled my computer. By the way, the guy at the Genius Bar was everything. He was like, listen, I'm not in sales. But you should probably get a new computer. And I said, you know what? I think I might. So I spent lots of money on a new computer. And can I also just say, Apple is running a scam. Because it's crazy that Apple is so ubiquitous that there's like no real alternative. Like phones and now laptops are basically the only things where it's like, you're gonna have to spend, no matter who you are, you're gonna have to spend the same amount as like a billionaire is gonna spend on a phone or a laptop. That's the product. That's Apple, baby. And then Apple will proceed to tell you right in your face that you're upgrading. They're always telling you that you're upgrading. Girl, to what? And then when you try to figure out, like, oh, how is this different from my last computer? It's always the resolution is better. There's a more high-tech display. Who gives a fuck about the display? I've never been looking at really any computer, at least not since I was about 6 years old, and been like, the display could be better. Who cares? What kind of nerds care about that? It's ridiculous. Can I just say, for the amount that you spend at Apple, or really anywhere that sells any sort of technology, it should be so much more of a luxury shopping experience. You should walk in there, and they should be pouring you champagne, having you sit on a beautiful love seat. That's what it should be. You should tell them what you want, and then the person who comes out should be like an Eastern European woman who's 6'2", but also wearing stilettos, who offers you your new computer on like a plate with a cloche. That feels like what it should be. Because I don't like the way these people at Apple will tell you your total of like $1,000 as if you're checking out at Chipotle. I don't really appreciate that. But alas, I fell victim to the scam and I have a new laptop, so I had to spend, between that and taxes and not really having any income right now, I'm very much in my broke era. Very, very much. It's about to get, God knows what's about to happen, but it almost feels a little bit glamorous. I'm not gonna lie. It feels kind of glamorous, because before these past few weeks, I wasn't doing well by any means, but I was like, okay, I'm fine for the time being. I'm fine. I could handle like a small emergency. Like I would have been fine if I got hit by a car as long as it wasn't going fast. So I was kind of broke, but that wasn't particularly glamorous. Being kind of broke doesn't really have any flair to it, but being really broke, that's kind of glamour. There's a horseshoe theory to this, right? Because being rich is glamorous. Doing okay is lame. Being broke, now we're talking. Like eating at a Michelin star restaurant, fabulous. Eating at a fast casual restaurant, lame. Eating a baguette for dinner, we're back to fabulous. You know what I mean? So I'm doing what all sorts of teenagers did in 2021, and I'm romanticizing my life. And that's where we are. But this is the first time in my life where I am kind of worried about like actual life stuff. And I think it's because I can like feel my frontal lobe developing, which is terrifying. I mean, it's good. I was talking to my therapist about this and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm like losing my character. Like my frontal lobe is starting to come in. I feel like somebody just mixed some gelatin into my frontal lobe because it's beginning to take shape. And now I don't really feel like myself because I'm like thinking rationally about real stuff for once. And he was like, well, you know, before this, didn't you set your life on fire? Like several times on a kind of regular basis? Like, wasn't that kind of where you were in life? And I was like, you know what? You might have a point there, but at least I had some character, right? There's something kind of fabulous about that as well. Making rash decisions with no regard whatsoever for real life consequences. I mean, I had a point. Good for me. Maybe I'll go back to that. I don't want to lose that side of me completely. I want to continue to, maybe less often, but continue to, on a special occasion, set my life on fire. What's the matter with that? It's fun. And it's good for my future memoir. Anyway, oh, I want to talk about another tragic thing that happened to me, which is recently I had an incident where I opened the YouTube app for the website YouTube.com, the famous website, and something tragic happened to me where I unfortunately clicked on the YouTube Shorts tab. Now, if you don't know, if you're lucky enough not to know about the YouTube Shorts tab, it is a corner of YouTube where, I mean, souls go to die, essentially. It's their version of like TikTok, Instagram Reels, whatever. It's kind of a different audience than something like TikTok. I mean, I think TikTok, as much as people make fun of it and as much as I do hate it sometimes, it has character, right? There are people on there, they're funny. If you open up a comment section, you'll probably see somebody saying something that's funny. You see some interesting videos from interesting people. YouTube Shorts is a whole other ballgame. It's kind of people who do nothing but consistently. It'll just be like, here's my YouTube Shorts. I make a latte every day and I get 10 million views every single time. And these people don't even like talk about something interesting. It's not like some person who, like a comedian or somebody with a fun life story, something interesting going on. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to clean this countertop, but I'm also going to talk about something that you might want to hear about. It's not that. It's just them cleaning the countertop, basically. Like, the most interesting videos on there are, like, get ready with me's. Or it's a lot of recipes. It's a lot of, like, let me tell you how I met my husband while I peel an orange. And then all the comments are like, love this, love your videos. I mean, everyone involved, I'm convinced, has been lobotomized. Like, people take handfuls of Klonopin and then go on YouTube Shorts or make videos for YouTube Shorts. Like, that's what it is. And I stumbled into the deepest, darkest corner of this. I mean, the worst thing imaginable that I absolutely love. I'm obsessed with it. This phenomenon of couples videos on YouTube Shorts. Let me tell you about these videos, okay? So it'll be a couple that has a joint account, and sometimes they talk on there, but it's mostly just, we're doing a challenge. We're doing a prank. I'm gonna do this and see how my boyfriend reacts. Like, that's all they do is like, let me see how my partner reacts to this. I got so deep into this. Like, there are definitely at least three couples whose accounts I have fully scrolling through. I mean, not fully, but you know, I mean, fully as in my heart was completely in it. And this is what they do. They do all of the same sort of trends as the other couples. They're all doing the same thing. And it's, for example, there's one that's like, calling my girlfriend wifey and seeing how she reacts. And then it's the guy saying, hey, can you pick that thing up, wifey? And then the girl like falls to her knees and is like, oh my God, did you just call me wifey? Blushing hot pink, blushing magenta, tears in her eyes. Can't believe it. It's the darndest thing. By the way, if somebody called me wifey, oh my God. I might be offended. I was about to say it's not offensive. I might be offended because that's just a vile word. I don't like it. There's another one where the girl is like, by the way, all these couples are straight, obviously. No gay person would ever participate in anything like this. the girl's like, trying to get my boyfriend to look at a hot girl. And they'll be sitting on the couch and she'll be on her phone and say, oh my God, look at this girl. She's so hot. And then the guy will be like, no, I don't want to look at any girl because you're my only girl. And that is supposed to be cute for some reason. By the way, if you've ever dated anyone in your life, if you've ever been on one date in your life, you would know that it's perfectly acceptable to look if your partner is like, look at this person. That's fine. I mean, don't look at them and be like, oh yeah, they're so hot, I would leave you for them. But if they say, look at this person, you're allowed to look at the person. It's the these crazy relationship standards where it's like, I want a guy like that who, by the way, who wants a guy who doesn't do what you tell him to do, by the way? If I tell you to look at somebody, you better look at them. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if I'm saying, look at that person, they're a disgusting monster. You better be taking a gander, because I said so. Oh my God, there's another one. My favorite one. When they try to, okay, there's one where they try to predict the other one's replies. Let me set this up for you. So for example, a guy will be like, I'm going to predict what my girlfriend replies to me. And then he'll ask her a question. And then when she responds, he says the exact same thing at the exact same time. And it is, I mean, all of this is so obviously fake, but this one is really out there, ridiculous, avant-garde fake. This is a John Waters level of camp. It really is. It really and truly is. And the fun part about it is that they'll ask the questions or whatever they want to reply to, and then the response will be so bizarre and so specific that you're like, there is no way that anyone has ever said that, let alone said it so many times that their partner can predict that that's going to be their response. Like the guy will say, do you want to go to Target? And the girl will be like, you better believe I want to roll up to Target, baby. And he'll say it at the same time. And it's like, you mean to tell me she's said that before? Like, you're constructing a universe in which someone has said that many times? That's wild. And by the way, they all love to go to Target. All of these people are the exact same type of person. It's very suburban, engaged at 19. And those types of people, let me tell you about somebody who lives in the suburbs and is engaged at 19. There is nothing they like to do more than go to Starbucks and go to Target. That is, in all of these videos, that is potentially the number one running theme, is that these girls always want to go to Target and go to Starbucks. And it's like, oh my God, some boyfriend or husband you are, you're creating a life with her that is so boring that the highlight of it is going to Target? Jesus. You have a responsibility as somebody's partner to not let that happen to them. And I really do believe that. I think that is gross negligence. But I was just so struck by that world, and how fake it all is. I mean, I guess. Obviously, social media is fake. Like, this isn't new information to anybody. And I hate when people present it as if it is. But it is crazy. After all these years of social media, and after all these years of people pointing out how fake social media is, as if that's a novel observation, but whatever, that there are still these lobotomized individuals on YouTube Shorts commenting on these videos being like, yes, need a relationship like this. Are you out of your mind? Like, how do you get to that point? I'm fascinated. I want to study those types of people in a lab who are commenting, being like, You guys spend all day together acting out fake scenarios for TikTok or for YouTube shorts, which is worse. I can't wait to have a relationship like this. I would love to be living that life. What a country we live in, truly. What a world. Anyway, speaking of relationships, I've made another novel life change, deleted dating apps, over it. And I don't just mean deleted the apps, deleted my account, done, over it. At least for the time being. I mean, I really feel like dating apps have been rough lately. And I'm not trying to be one of those people who's like, dating is terrible now. Because, whatever, men are losers and women are feminists. And so everything is terrible and all of us are going to be alone forever. Whatever. I see those people. I see you. I hear you. I do not stand with you because I think it's very much just an individual problem that you're trying to place on society. Sure, there are problems with modern dating, certainly. But if you've never had a good experience with dating, that's probably your fault. But I will say dating apps specifically have gotten rough. They've gotten pretty rough. And I think it's because I blame Hinge, because Hinge, for the past few years, has very much been the past like 5 years, honestly, has very much been the best dating app for like all of my adult life. I think because it took some effort to like make a profile. So for a while, the only people on there were like normal people looking to date and not whatever. Polyamorous people looking for hookups. Whatever. Not saying anything bad about that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I will tell you, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. I will tell you that. If you're one of those people, all my respect to you, keep it out of my face. Keep it out of the public eye. Right? Let's have some decency. Okay, but then Hinge became like the default dating app, and then everybody, all these types of people started to get on there. You know, independent spirits, free thinkers, if you get where I'm coming from, those people have really started to dominate dating apps, and that is not exactly what I'm looking for. So I think I'm over dating apps, at least for the time being. Felt good. Felt very good to delete them because I think I wasn't even really matching with people and stuff, but I would open the app from time to time. And I think it was making me a little bit cynical because I would just look at the people on there and be like, oh my God, this is the world we're living in. Is this the state of dating now? And I know that it isn't. And I know that there are plenty of cool people in real life. But when you're constantly opening, or not constantly, but even occasionally opening an app where you're seeing that, it can make you a little bit cynical. And I think that's why people are so cynical about dating, is because they're just looking at the dating apps and they're looking at like these unfortunate options that have been presented to them. And they're like, oh my God, this is the state of dating now. But if you go outside, you realize that it really isn't. And I think dating apps are kind of in their flop era. I think many of us have grown to realize that as convenient as they can be, and as many connections as they can foster, they might be a net negative in definitely a lot of our lives, certainly for society as a whole. I think we can all agree on that. But that's what I'm predicting, is dating apps being in their flop era. And I'm ready for that because I'm cool with being alone and I love to meet people in real life. So why bother? I deleted Raya too, but that's, you know, I only really got on there to see like, oh, what song did Michael Che attach to his profile or whatever? I wasn't really matching with people. And who wants to date someone off Raya? Gross. Gross. But I'm just off men in general, I think. That's my new vibe. I'm off men. I mean, first of all, I'm trying to get my life together. So there's that. They're a distraction. But also, I just need to get back to the kookiness of it all. I need to let myself be free. And I don't think this is a time in my life where I want to concern myself with being attractive to a partner. And that has been so freeing to me. Just going out, wearing whatever. I'm walking down the street, not trying to look approachable, doing a straight-up Kubrick stare. Kubrick? I don't know. Either one. And I haven't been dating a lot for a while, but I was open to it, and I was dabbling. I mean, recently I dabbled a little, and I was like, I don't love this right now. This is not my moment. I think I just need to get back to the fun and the kookiness and all that of it all, and then try to bring that to dating. Oh my God, I totally sound like one of those people who's like, I'm taking a break because I need to focus on myself. Which I guess is kind of what I'm doing, but also I have been focusing on myself for 23 years. There's been no time where I've really focused on anything else, so that's never been a problem for me. Even when I've been in relationships, still 100% focused on me. So I don't think that's really the situation. I think it's like I'm just trying to cultivate some fun and some silliness and not concern myself with that kind of thing. At least until I really feel like I'm in that place. So I think I'm going to do this maybe month by month, see where I'm going. As if I'm like subletting a lease with a month by month situation. Every month I'm going to reconsider and be like, okay, am I ready? And then if not, give it another month. But in between then, no, no, no. We're doing a hard restriction. And I like that because it's very freeing. It's different from being like, I'm not really focusing on that, but I'm open to it. But just to be like, I'm a closed book for a month. And then we'll reconsider next month. But if I'm not ready, I am a closed book next month. And there's so many things that I don't have to worry about. That's so fabulous. What a time. What a time. And so that, I guess, is going to be a part of my summer, which, speaking of, we're going to answer a couple questions. And somebody asked, what are your vibe predictions / trends / forecast / hopes and dreams for summer 2023? I mean, the first one for me is going off men for a little while. Or I think also the vibe is, if you aren't going off men, if you're going to be on men or women or whoever, meeting them in person. I do really think that dating apps are out. I think we've gotten to a tipping point where we've looked around and noticed that they haven't really improved our lives a whole bunch. So I think that's the first bullet point I would give. Also, I'm feeling a little bit bohemian. That's how I'm feeling. Not very buttoned up. Maybe a little sleazy. Wearing smudged eyeliner, maybe some bangles, who knows? Who knows where the tide may take us? Runs in our tights, even though my tights are from Sheer Tech, so unfortunately they can only snag, but snags in our tights. A lot of the styles lately have been either clean, borderline athletic. I mean, last year, you walk into Soho, every single girl, biker shorts, crop top, sneakers, minimal makeup, gold jewelry, hair in a claw clip, like very much that. Or there's been a lot of almost contrived glamour where we're dressing in a way, and I've definitely dressed in this way, but in a way where it's like, this is what a glamorous person looks like in a cartoon. So this is what we're going with. And I think a more bohemian, more party girl kind of glamour is on the horizon. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'm biased now that I'm poor, but I'm feeling a little less consumerism in the air. I think other people might join me in not being able to buy stuff. I mean, we're about to have a recession, so naturally, pretty soon, we're going to be buying less stuff. But that has just been something in the air for me. Even before the past few weeks when I basically ran out of money, I was getting rid of stuff and I was just kind of looking around and being like, why did I buy that? What was I thinking? I'm in the mood to let go of the belief that the next purchase is going to be the one that changes my life. Because so far in my life, that has not been true. And I'm just tired of having to clear a bunch of little junk out of my room because I, for some reason, decided that I needed a coin purse. I'm trying to get back in touch with just being a person. Oh my God, by the way, speaking of consumerism, there was a video I saw. I won't even bother to lie and say that it was an article I read. It was, in fact, a TikTok, but it, like, put something into words that I've been feeling uneasy about for a long time, where this woman was, like, basically talking about how capitalism and consumerism take away the essential things that you need being a human and then sells it back to you. So now, because we don't have a lifestyle where we're active, we have to get gym memberships. And now, because we don't have real community, we have to get therapists, which I know some people do really need therapy, myself included. But the idea that everybody needs therapy is insane. And I cannot believe that at this point in our lives and in the life of the United States of America, we've gotten to a point where that is a common belief, that it is this essential that we pay for someone to talk to. And for a lot of people, it is. I've been in therapy on and off since I was like 12, 13. But I don't think everybody needs that. And I don't think everybody should be paying for a therapist and also taking up resources that people actually need. If I get to a point where I feel like my life can function in a way that is relatively healthy, I'm out of therapy. I'm not doing that shit anymore. I'm not going to be in therapy just to say that I'm in therapy. You do it when you need it. Not everybody needs it. Anyway, I could go on about that another time. Other vibes for summer 2023. I personally, I don't know if this will be a trend. I hope so, but I want to get back to making clothing. I want to get back to sewing. I might pick up some vintage patterns. But I think learning to make clothes is something that makes a lot of sense right now. Now that fast fashion has taken over. I mean, it's even taken over thrift stores. The other day, I saw Shein in Beacon's closet. Like, it's bad out there. It's so bad out there. And then expensive and ridiculous. I've talked about this before, the fact that there's no place to get regular basics anymore. So I think making your own clothing makes a lot of sense at this point. I mean, especially, you know, I went to fashion school. I got my associate's in fashion design before I gave up on that. So I have some experience, but I'm excited to get back to it. I love to sew. Sewing is so fun. It's one of those things where I really get into that flow state, where I'll just be on my floor, like cutting out patterns and pressing seams, and then I'll look up at the clock and it's 3 a.m. and I didn't even realize that I had horrible back pain because I've been crouched over all this all night and I haven't eaten in 12 hours. And it's just a blast. Yeah, bohemian, making your own clothes, living that artist's life. As my gut has been telling me to do. Creating stuff with other people. Reading novels. Oh, here's a real prediction of mine. Or I don't really know if it's a prediction or it's just a hope. But I think, I feel like we're going to go back to reading novels that aren't necessary, kind of like mid-level novels. You know what I mean? Because I feel like right now everybody's either reading like young adult fiction, whatever. That there's nothing wrong with that. I do think if you're an adult reading young adult fiction, you should acknowledge that that is a little bit ridiculous because sometimes I feel like I'm going insane, right? But everybody's either reading that or like the trending edgy intellectual books that are about like capitalism and incest, you know? And I love those. I enjoy those very much. But sometimes you gotta have a bit of a beach read. And I would love for us to go back, maybe murder mystery novels is the happy medium. I think that's where we need to go as a society, is a bit of a whodunit. I read one of those recently and I really, really enjoyed it. I bought it just for the cover because it was like this 80s book where the cover was like satin and then the title, I think it was like Silk and Satin or something like that. Maybe I'm making that up. Something satin in a gorgeous font. And I was like, oh my God, I have to read this. And it was about this woman who died. Did her husband die? Okay, it's been a while since I read it, but I really enjoyed it. So maybe murder mystery novels. Maybe that's the new thing. And the last thing I'll say is I think the vibe is really developing some obsessions. I think that's the vibe. No more dabbling, no more here and there. Or I guess kind of dabbling, because I think the vibe is we're developing some short-term obsessions and we're really just delving into some Wikipedia pages and reading all the sources and all the footnotes, and that's where we're going, culturally and intellectually, and I'm excited for it. Okay, somebody had an advice question. Here we go. This is this is relatable to me currently, as we know. Okay. I am struggling to get a summer internship because I'm a film major and nobody wants to give me money for the wealth of knowledge and skills I've developed from watching movies for homework the past 3 years. Sad. So, Sabrina, work. In your opinion, what the hell should I do with my summer if I do not find a paid internship in LA? Yellow heart emoji. Nepotism is not personally an option. Ugh. So I fear I may be hanging out in my hometown in New Jersey. Please have mercy with the Jersey mockery. All right. Well, first of all, I mean, I relate to this because my summer is coming and I have no idea what I should do next. But I'll tell you, I don't know when is too late to apply for summer internships because this was asked like a couple weeks ago. But if it isn't too late, keep applying. Just spam people, you know? Cast a wide net. Remember, keep that resume 1 page long. 2 pages only if you have, like, decades of experience. Don't stylize it too much unless you do it in a very clean way. And change it up a little for whatever people are looking for. Change those active verbs. And use those active verbs. But if you can't find an internship, and who knows right now because the whole media industry is up in flames, go home for the summer. Go home for the summer. See your family. I assume your family is in your hometown. But let me tell you, New Jersey is not that bad. My parents are from Jersey. I've spent some time there. It really is. I mean, it's just the suburbs. It's just, people act like it's awful. I feel about Jersey the same way I feel about Staten Island, even though I don't know if people like me calling Staten Island the suburbs, whatever. But it's basically just a suburb. And if those places were anywhere else, we would be like, that's fine. If Staten Island was in the South, no one would bat an eye. But because it's close to the famous city of New York City, the Big Apple, now we all have to shit all over it. Jersey, really, sure, it's lame compared to New York. It's fine. It really is fine. And honestly, in my opinion, the bagels are better there. Who said that? Who said that? Anyway, you can spend the summer in New Jersey. You could get a job, save some money, get a whatever summer job, serve drinks at a golf course, waitress at a, like, an outdoor restaurant, serve ice cream, I don't know. Save some money. Maybe you could use this time to learn a new skill, if there's anything that's important for film that you haven't learned. I mean, I don't really know about film curriculum. I don't know if you learn to... Are you just learning about theory of film? Are you learning to write? Are you learning to edit? Maybe you can learn some new software or take an online class. And then you can go back to school with that under your belt. But there is no shame at all in going home for a bit. You're a college student. You're studying something that I'd imagine it's hard to get internships and such in. If you have to go home, just make the most of it. Maybe you can do all the suburban stuff that you can't do in LA. Take a walk around the neighborhood. Go on a bike ride. I mean, you could probably do that in LA, but whatever. Go to Target for fun. Sit on a curb. Watch an ice cream truck drive around. Listen to that music. There's all sorts of things you can do. And going back to your hometown when you've lived in a city, you get, I don't really want to say a newfound appreciation for it, because I don't really know if I appreciate my hometown all too much, but there is kind of a novelty to it, and you realize, okay, even if I don't love this place, and even if I wouldn't want to live here forever, there's something interesting about it, the same way there's something interesting about cities. Suburbs have their own deal. You can talk to strangers there. That's fun. People will say hi to you. Maybe you'll make a new friend. So, best of luck. Keep looking if there's still time to look, and if not, it's not the end of the world. You'll be fine. Anyway, last thing. Let's do my media of the week, which is very basic this week because I just caught up on two very popular television programs that I was behind on. First of all, White Lotus, which I was very behind on. I hadn't seen any of it until a couple weeks ago when I watched both seasons. Loved it. Loved White Lotus so much. And normally it's hard for me to really get into dramas, but I think I'm kind of feeling it now. Especially White Lotus, which is like a fun drama. It's funny. It's fun. There's a golden shower scene. It's a great time. I very much enjoyed season one. I will say I may have enjoyed season two more, not because I think it was better written or because I liked the characters better, but because there were more hot guys in there. Because were there really any hot guys in season one? The hotel manager with the mustache was like kind of hot, but freakish. Who else? There was that girl's husband, who was, like, a little bit hot, but his character was terrible. I don't know if there were any hot guys in season one. Season two, baby. What's his name? Theo James, I think. He plays, like, the tech bro, douchey, whatever. If anyone else would have played that character, I would have, like, fast-forwarded through the scenes. Girl, I would have watched those in slow-mo if I could. Beautiful man. Beautiful man. Like, unbelievable. Truly not to be believed. And then there's There's a guy with the curly hair who plays like the nice guy who says he's into girls who are wounded birds. Not the best character, right? If that character were real, I don't know if I would spend a whole lot of time with him, but the actor is gorgeous. And can I just say, I Googled him because I was like, I recognize this guy from somewhere. Where? I think I've seen him before. Girl, if you don't know, take a guess where I recognized him from. You got it. Radio Rebel. Radio Rebel on Disney Channel with Debbie Ryan when she walked into that office and said, we're going to make history. Or whatever it is she said. But he's gorgeous. Also, the girl who plays one of the escorts, the one with the bob, she's gorgeous. I loved season one, but I had a lot less trouble focusing season two. Let's just say that. With those hotties on deck, come on now. Come on. And I love shows about rich people problems. I know people are like, oh my God, we have enough shows about rich people and their problems. But also, do we really want shows about us normal people and our problems? Is that what we need for escapism? Is somebody being like, how am I going to pay next month's rent? I don't really want that. I want like two rich people. One is like finding out her husband had an affair, something like that. That's what I need. That White Lotus, Big Little Lies, that kind of vibe. Because a realistic vacation show, what would that be? Me and my family growing up going to Myrtle Beach, going down a water slide. I can't lie and say I didn't have a great time, but I don't think HBO would pick that up. And good for them. So I am all for rich people problem shows, and I should have watched The White Lotus sooner. Everybody was right. My apologies for refusing to watch it for however long it's been, which is a long time, but you were all right. I concede. And also, I just finished Jury Duty. Not real Jury Duty. I finished watching Jury Duty on Freevee. I don't know what that is. Whatever. I watched it on Amazon Prime and loved it. I mean, I had to watch it at some point because I scrolled through TikTok for like 15 minutes and I was like, okay, I feel like I've seen the entire show. Like, I might as well watch it at this point before I end up seeing the rest of it just by virtue of like unlocking my iPhone. And it's great. It's great. I mean, I think there were parts where I'm like, okay, from a technical perspective or writing or whatever, this could have been better, but I don't care because it has such a heart. Now I understand what people mean when they say that. It has such a heart, but it really does. It's such a sweet show about friendships and all that. And I absolutely loved James Marsden, who is, by the way, beautiful. He looked a little bit too Ken doll-ish when he was young, but has aged into his looks so beautifully. I mean, clearly, I can only pay attention to something if there's a hot guy in it, but I paid attention. Lord knows. Loved him playing himself. So funny. Always loved that. One of my favorite characters of all time is James Van Der Beek playing a washed up version of himself in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. So good. But Jury Duty, it was great. It was great. I didn't think I would like a show that was being used for TikTok fodder, but I never wanted it to end, and I had so much fun. So if you haven't seen it yet, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, honestly, because I was. So clearly I've been watching a lot of television in my unemployment era. Does anybody blame me? Anyway, that's all I have to say for today. I have to go probably run into James Charles at the unemployment office. So, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.